That's the call of the willow ptarmigan, the state bird of Alaska, and the bird voted by every one of my junior high students as having the weirdest bird song in the universe. We have here on the phone right now a man who isn't an ornithologist or a birder, but is an authority on both junior high boys and weirdness. Humor writer, Pulitzer Prize winner, and novelist, Dave Barry. Welcome to For the Birds, Dave.
Thanks a lot, but I don't think that was a bird. I think that was Walter Brennan played backwards.
I thought it sounded like Conky on the Pee Wee Herman program.
Yeah, or him.
You have a long list of books to your credit, but your newest one, Big Trouble, is your first novel.
It's being hailed by the critics as a book, probably the most expansive book novel written about birds in the last 1,000 years.
Especially the part with the pelican who drops bombs.
Oh, yeah.
What made you come up with that?
Well, that's a scene where, and I should stress, it really isn't a book about birds. But there's a scene near the beginning of the book explaining how one of the key characters, a guy named Elliot Arnold, came to be fired by the newspaper he worked for, which I want to stress in no way resembles the Miami Herald where I worked. And he's working on a story in which an anti-Castro terrorist group has trained a pelican to drop bombs and is hoping to take out Castro that way, which is by no stretch of the imagination an impossible concept for Miami. I mean, that kind of thing could easily happen here.
Dare we ask how the pelicans carry these bombs?
Well, they have that big, you know, pouch. I mean, you're familiar with pelicans,
well, yeah,
I'm sure.
Well, what else is a Gueuler pouch for?
A what pouch?
That's called a Gueuler pouch.
Oh, I didn't know that.
See, I'm an ornithologist.
Well, that's true, you are. Well, and they're nice birds, pelicans. Well, I don't know if nice is the word, but they do hang around people a lot. They're social.
Yeah, Roger Torrey Peterson once sent me a letter about a pelican that would walk into a store. I don't think it was in Miami, but it was somewhere in Florida. And it would walk in every morning, a bait store, demanding fish. And
yeah,
it wouldn't leave the store until the people found
it. I have personally fed fish to pelicans down here, bought it from a store, and they're quite aggressive about it. Later on, they wanted my credit card and everything so they could get their own. So I have no doubt that you could train one to drop bombs, but this one that didn't work out. The pelican went off prematurely, apparently, and battered a group of French tourists. But that was a key part of the early part of the plot of the book. Yeah,
that fits in with your exploding cows motif too.
That's true. I do have a lot of exploding cows, exploding toilets, and now an exploding pelican in my work. Exploding things, that's kind of my theme.
But it's interesting that with the pelican, you had to inject the bomb because I don't think birds are known for producing intestinal gas.
But actually, birds do explode. And I wrote a column about this many years ago. It had to do with birds being fed a certain kind of rice. They weren't being fed them, but they were eating them at weddings when people were throwing rice. And in some cases, the rice would expand really rapidly, a certain kind of rice, and I can't really remember which kind, but I did put it in the column. It would expand really rapidly, and the birds would explode, and so they were urging people not to throw this type of rice.
You had a recent column about successful pickup lines. That call of the willow ptarmigan is actually a pickup line that they use for attracting females.
Yeah, you know, this is where, I don't know why we consider human race to be an advanced species when we are the only species that I know of that doesn't have an agreed-upon pickup line, so that the male and the female both know exactly what, you know, everybody knows what to say, when to say it, how to say it. That's it. You know, it's done. And I'm sure which kind of ptarmigan was it?
That was the willow ptarmigan.
The willow ptarmigan has been basically using the same line for 3 or 4 million years minimum, and it's working every time.
Yeah,
you know, the female ptarmigans go, hey, yeah, that's a good line. I'll go for that. Whereas guys, male human guys, have to come up with new ones, or think they do all the time, and most of the time they don't even work. So you really have to wonder what's wrong with us as a species.
Well, I've long held a theory that birds are a little bit more evolved than us.
I agree. There is probably no known example of a bird playing an accordion, for example.
Gosh darn, you're right about
that.
Okay,
another example of an advanced species.
Mm-hmm. Whenever you talk about nature in your column, you refer to the Discovery Channel. But how many birds have you personally had encounters with outside of TV?
Well,
other than feeding pelicans fish?
personal encounters with birds?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, not counting the ones that I think I'm going to hit with my car, and in the last minute they swerve away.
Yeah, or don't. That's the
or
case,
don't.
Maybe.
But I would say my most the most encounters personally I ever had with birds was when I was a child growing up in Armonk, New York, and we lived in a house in the woods, and it had big picture windows. And the birds flew into the windows all the time. I mean, it was just like a routine, normal part of the day to hear bonk and then see a bird out there. And so we used to go out, and my sister and I, and the bird was either dead or wandering around in a daze. We'd put him in a shoebox and imagine that we were nursing it back to health. We were probably just terrifying it. You know, but some of them would actually get well and fly away.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever birds they were, though, they were not real good at, I mean, I was often wondering how they get by in the world when they can't really even notice a house. It was, I mean, a house. It was a large structure. Granted, there were windows, but I could see there were windows there. You'd think the birds could, huh?
Yeah, windows crashes are something that people had to develop even higher technology to be able to have problems with. But birds could just do it with the plain old windows.
Now, I understand you attended Wampus Elementary School.
I did, Wampus Elementary, that's correct.
Rumor has it there was an Oriental restaurant in Mount Kisco that was famous for their duck.
I have been to an Oriental restaurant in Mount Kisco.
Hey,
but
did you ever order the Peking duck?
But I can't say that I ever ordered the duck.
Well, the Peking duck was allegedly, in truth, Wampus Pond duck.
Is that right? Well, I remember Wampus Pond well, and I didn't realize that they were using the ducks for Oriental purposes, but... the duck has to come from somewhere, doesn't it?
I guess, yes,
so.
Apparently.
I mean, you don't think they're flying the ducks over from China, do you? Not during the 50s, they weren't.
No, certainly
not. No siree.
No siree, boss.
We didn't stand for that kind of infiltration of communist ducks in Armonk, New York. We drew the line. Give us an American duck. Give us a Wampus Pond duck.
In Big Trouble, I really liked your descriptions. You're very vivid. And you had one character falling down like a 200-pound bag of suet.
Yeah, that would be the Jack Pendick. He was he appears briefly in the book. Basically, he wants to be a police officer, but he fails the battery of psychological tests because he is, in technical terms, way too stupid. He's just gotten fired from a sunglass hut where he's working, and he's getting fired because he keeps looking down the blouses of the women who customers. So he's sitting in a bar in Coconut Grove, drowning his sorrows with a drink, which I think is called the Vulcan Mind Melter. And like everyone else in Miami, he's got a gun. And he sees these kids who are actually just going to do something with a squirt gun, but Jack Pendick, crime fighter, believes it's a real gun, and ends up pursuing these kids through a parking lot, firing his gun. Fortunately for them, trips over something, and that's when he falls like a sack of suet. But I can remember, we used to, isn't suet something you feed the birds?
Yes, exactly.
Fourth grade or third grade, we had, you know, the Audubon Society had some kind of a junior Audubon, I don't remember what, I was no longer in Wampus Elementary, but speaking of birds, I was in Whippoorwill School then, which was another school,
cool.
now defunct, but a school in Armonk. And we had an Audubon Society, and we used to make little bird feeders using suet, and birds used to come around like, well, the one bird that we had a lot of in Armonk was chickadees.
Mm-hmm.
So they used to hang out. Well, I didn't know I knew all this bird stuff.
You also had one character who wears enough brute to kill small birds.
Yeah, which is...
How much brute is that?
That's a lot of brute. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've done experiments with brute and small birds, and quite frankly, it takes quite a bit. They're tough. The birds are small, but they're tough.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I wouldn't think it would take very much brute to knock over a small bird.
Well, the trick is that most birds have a very poorly developed sense of smell.
Oh,
right. And that's a smart thing to do where brute is concerned. Also, they have the ability to fly away from the brute, which unfortunately a lot of us humans don't.
Mm-hmm. Have you been doing much with the Rock Bottom Remainders lately?
Well, we recently performed, most of us anyway, at the Maui Writers Conference, and one of the songs we performed was Rockin' Robin.
Oh, cool. Is that on a recording anywhere?
No, I hope not.
Do you think you're ever going to do a production of Bye Bye Birdie?
We laughed pretty hard when we couldn't really finish the song because you have to go tweedly deedly 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 dee. It's hard to do that if you're over 50 years old and a grown up. But anyway, we tried.
How's your campaign for president going?
I'm moving up. You'll notice that the other really top humorist in the field, Dan Quayle, dropped out.
Yeah, he couldn't possibly match you.
Well, he could. That's the thing. I mean, he was my real competition.
Mm-hmm.
And he's gone now. It kind of depresses me, speaking as a humor writer. I'd like, you know, a lot of people to write him letters with small words urging him to get back into the race.
If you win as president, are you going to do something about the exploding cow situation?
Yeah, I would make that probably my highest single priority, without question. And then I would just spend the rest of the 4 years going to various resorts, kind of like President Clinton.
Or kind of like Governor Ventura.
Well, that's a state that has a cow flatulence problem, I would think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I know
sure.
For a fact that I was at the Minnesota State Fair once and saw a sculpture. I can't even remember what it was, but it was a huge sculpture made of butter.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Princess Kay of the Milky Way.
Was that what it was? And I'm thinking, this should be called the way too much spare time state.
Yeah.
way too much butter, eh?
Now, are you going to be getting serious about family values in a presidency and look at the problem of cowbirds laying their eggs in the nests of other birds?
Boy, I'm telling you. And, you know, it starts in the home with cowbirds. If their parents didn't do it, they wouldn't do it. That's where they're learning it. They're not learning that in the school. Although I do blame the Internet. You've got more and more cowbirds on the Internet laying their eggs on other people's websites, and it's got to stop. Something's got to be done.
Are you going to be creating any new cabinet positions?
My assistant, Judy Smith, has already claimed position of Secretary of Really Cute Guys.
How about Secretary of Birds?
You could be Secretary of Birds if you want.
Oh, cool.
I would like whoever that is to do something about birds that make like really loud noises really early in the morning. Them I don't care for.
Okay.
Whatever kind of bird that is.
Yeah, which it's
okay. Funny. I'll tell you one. When I was at Camp Sharperoon, I was a counselor at Camp Sharperoon. We slept in these cabins that were sort of basically just screened enclosures, so they were pretty much open to the sounds of the night. And there was one kind of bird, a whippoorwill.
Mm-hmm.
If I had had a bazooka, I mean, I would have taken out a lot of whippoorwills in those days, because they would leisurely wait till like 2 o'clock in the morning, go or whatever, you know, but much louder. Well, I think the whippoorwills are like going to bars or something, and they get back and just do whippoorwill. You know?
Yeah,
there's no real point in making all that noise at 2 o'clock in the morning that I could see.
But it's a line that works.
It works working for them, yeah.
Thanks for visiting with us.
Hey, it was my pleasure.
That was Dave Barry, syndicated newspaper columnist and author of bazillions of non-birding books, including the new novel, Big Trouble.